do a little bit of a bridge here as I begin our sermon time here today. Last week we looked at this concept of what does the chaff have to do with the wheat, and we talked about Wheaties a little bit. Wheaties was the breakfast of champions, and I mentioned that you better be eat your Wheaties for today for our picnic, and certainly that is true. As a prelim to our picnic, we are going to be giving out some awards. There will be prizes for things that are earned, and there will be some other presentations made later today. And our theme was about Wheaties, and so just as a prelim, these what you will see on the screen in a moment here are our actual gifts and presentations that will be made at the picnic here. And I wonder if we can put our first one up here, if we can get to that. There's our own elder, Michael Belize, there, and he's on the cover of Wheaties. I don't know if you've gone to the store and seen that yet, but hey, maybe your picture could be on the cover of Wheaties today. You never know. I mean, we have a lot of events. You just never know. And who else do we have here? We have another one of our elders. There's Coach Rapp. Now, he may look like he's hollering at Serena Williams there, but I assure you, he's just cheering her on, I'm sure. Now, our third elder here, he also made the cover of Wheaties, and I think he's kind of like going, oh, brother, to Serena. Yeah. So, we talked about Wheaties, and we have that to look forward to this afternoon as we gather for our picnic. This morning, I want to address our gospel lesson, and our gospel lesson is called Sabbath Unyoking. Letting loose and riding high. I want to read a portion of our gospel lesson, verse 15 and 16 from chapter 13, and then we'll pray. The Lord then answered him and said, "You hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead them away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from her body on the Sabbath day?" Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would help us on one level today to be unyoked from those things that bind us, and help us also at the very same time be yoked to our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill a biblical Sabbath. Lord, make it so. Free us. Free us to be your servants. Help us today to do your will. Help us as we gather even at this picnic to pour ourselves out one to another and thereby fulfill the Sabbath. We pray that you would do this. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever considered the Sabbath as being an unyoking. An unyoking. A taking off of your implements, of your labor. You don't put your work clothes on. You don't carry the box of tools that you bring to work every day. An unyoking of your implements, of your labor. The labor that binds you to the bulk of your life. After all, we're Americans, and you've seen the bumper sticker. You know the slogan, right? I owe, so it's off to work I go. Because of my borrowing, because of my lending, I'm a slave and I go. And this yoke of bondage that we have that ties us to our employment is on us. But I want us to see the Sabbath as an unyoking, a taking off that equipment and implement of our labor and our employment. The labor that binds us. Your employment can bind you. Satan can bind you. That's what we see in the gospel lesson. Satan can bind you in 1,001 different ways. And yes, even you yourself can bind you. How often do we bind ourselves up with all sorts of extraneous entanglements? They may define us, but do they always define us in the best way? Do they define us in the way that God wants us to be defined? Binding ourselves up with these extraneous entanglements. And therefore we're not free, really free, to really live. All of our readings today have been about living and breathing in this spacious, airy, even the fresh air of liberty in Christ. Like an ox who, day after day, month after month, year after year, is wearing that yoke, that implement of his labor. Like that ox from his oath, and he's loosed from his yoke, and he's now loosed on the Sabbath day from the stall so he can go out into the fresh air, and he can drink up the clean water. And like this woman in our gospel lesson, the daughter of Abraham, she is what? It says she's bound by Satan. She has this yoke of oppression upon her, but Jesus lets her loose from that. The ox and the ass are unyoked and they are let loose. This woman is let loose. How much more the church on Sunday to be let loose? To be really free, to take off the yoke of oppression, the ones that we put on ourselves, the ones that the enemy puts on us, the ones that perhaps our employers put on us. Again, in Isaiah chapter 58, we saw this reading here in verse 14. There is a sense in which there is an unyoking here. There's a sense in which there is a letting loose here. There's a sense here where the promise says that you will be riding high. You will ride upon the high places of the land. You'll ride high. What a great idea. What is it to be riding high? You know, if you think about, we use it perhaps in our expression here, that somebody's way down here in the polls, the political polls, and then they're way up there, and so they're riding high, they're riding a wave of popularity, but to be riding high, it means more than that. To be riding high means that you're confident, it means that you're feeling good, it means that there's a sense of appreciation in your life, you have a sense of acceptance, you have a sense of approval. All the things that Christians get from God, that's what riding high is. Confidence. I feel good. I'm appreciated by God. I'm accepted by Him. I'm approved by Him. I'm blessed by Him. I'm a partaker of His abundance. I'm being fed by Him. I'm feasting. Riding high, and you will be fed with the heritage of Jacob, as the Scripture says. There's an old chorus we used to sing. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free to be a servant of the Lord. Meaning these yokes are gone. I have this freedom. I'm unyoked. I'm riding high. I'm free. I'm confident. God is with me. I'm free, I'm free. But I'm free to be a servant of the Lord. These yokes are gone. That's what the Sabbath is. That's what the Sabbath always was. Our Old Testament lesson began in Isaiah chapter 58 and the second half of verse 9, 9b. And what is the very first thing that we read in this passage? If you take away from the middle of you, the center of your life, if you take away from all those things that connect us to each other, if you take away the yoke, those things that bind us, if you take that away, you will have these other benefits. I wonder, have you ever identified what the yokes are in your life? I think it's pretty easy for us to say, okay, my job. Fair enough, right? 6 days thou shalt labor. God wants us to work. We understand that. Have we identified the yokes in our life? For some, it's our employment. And sometimes there's off sides, there's this encroachment on the Sunday, and that's a whole other sermon. Employment's our yoke. Other yokes are recreations. I'm in bondage to this thing I like to do, or my kids have to do. I have to go to soccer practice. I have to go to Little League. I have to go to these ice skating lessons. Or I myself, I joined a league and I have to go play tennis, or I have to go to my basketball. Recreations can be a yoke. Others of us, some of us it's employments, others of us it may be recreations, others of us may be various religious rules and bondages that we have. Others of us decide that the yoke we're going to put upon ourselves, that which is going to keep me bound and not free to be a servant of the Lord, is victimhood. I am going to take upon myself the role of being a victim. Victimization. I think we're at this passage here where he says, if you'll take away your yoke, the putting forth of the finger. I did a whole Bible study on that a couple of years ago about the finger, and it is the finger. That's what it is. And that means that, you know what, you're saying, you know, screw you to the world, to the other person. But it's also this judgmental finger that says, I'm a victim here, nothing's my fault, it's all your fault. And mom, it's you, or dad, it's you, or that teacher didn't do that, or that policeman didn't arrest me. If you will take that yoke off, the yoke of vanity that says, I deserve better, and I'm not going to move a muscle until God recognizes how great I am and blesses me and frees me. The first part about this Sabbath here is taking off the yoke. And we all have different yokes. And that's what we're to take off on the Sabbath. And so you are thereby free enough to give yourselves away towards the deeds of mercy and necessity. Even the great catechisms and the confessions of faith say that on the Sabbath day we are to give ourselves to deeds of mercy and necessity, the very same things that Jesus was doing here. In verse 10 of this chapter here, this is the very next verse. If you will draw out your soul to the hungry. Actually, I think what version do you use? English version, right?
New American Standard.
New American Standard and the ESV as well. It says, if you will pour yourself out. First, we have to draw up from within us this desire to take care of the other person. Then we've taken the yoke off, we draw up out of ourselves, and in those newer translations, it says, and then pour yourself out into the other person. Draw it out of yourself and pour out your soul to other people. That indeed is what it means to be riding high. I'm free. The yoke is gone. I can draw up from myself and pour myself out into others. That's abundant living. And what does God say about that? When you do that, your light will rise in obscurity. You'll have light in your life. Your life won't be so gloomy. It won't be so dark. And even when your darkness shall be as noonday, even when you have a shadow cast on your life, but bad things happen, it's going to be as comparable to the noonday. That's how your increased quality of life will be. If you will take off the yoke, draw up from yourselves, and pour out yourselves for others on the Sabbath. That's riding high. And I would submit to you today that when we gather as a picnic, you know what? I'm not telling you, don't go talk to the person that you know really well or the person that you talk to all the time. But practice this today. Go talk to some, we're a small church, but go talk to somebody who you don't normally even talk to. That's being free from your yoke. That's pouring yourself out into someone else. Pouring yourself into someone else. That is biblically fulfilling the Sabbath. Is it going to be comfortable for all of us to go sit in the same corner we sit in and talk to the same two people we always talk to? Yeah, that's comfortable. We're talking about pouring ourselves out. Find someone new. so that indeed your obscurity will be, you have light in obscurity, and even your darkest time will be as the noonday. The whole of the new covenant is about this very same thing, this light breathing air where the yoke is gone. If we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18, here we come into the New Testament, and in New Testament times, it tells us right off the bat that this is exactly not where we are. You are not come to the mountain that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor the blackness and the darkness, nor the tempest. That's not where you are. Rather, if we look at the further verses here in 19 through 21, what we see is that there is this yoke of the law. The law was the schoolmaster. It was designed to lead us to Christ. It was designed to show us our need for Christ, who fulfilled the law. And so if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian today, you are without Christ, and you are inescapably bound by this yoke of the law. This yoke of the law, whereby which you are consigned to live your life in fear and in quaking and in bondage and in the coming of judgment. That's what these verses are about. As a matter of fact, if you're not a Christian, you have this yoke, and not only that, you don't have this light, airy, riding high where God has approved you and all of that. What do you have? In the Gospel of John in chapter 3 and verse 36, it says that if you believe, if you obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides upon you. This is John 3 and verses 36. He that believes on the Son, you have that newness of life. But if you don't believe the Son of God, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on you. The wrath of God. You know, I think it's old. I think they're old, really. It's Farina. I don't know what it is. Cream of wheat. It's like this bowl of cereal, this bowl of nutrition that kind of hovers over your head and it follows you around the whole day. What a beautiful picture that is, that you have energy for the whole day. This cream of wheat is following you around. If you're not a Christian, the wrath of God is over your head day and night. It never goes away. If you do not believe on the Son of God, the wrath of God lives on you. That's bondage. That's oppression. That's an unbearable yoke and burden. And that's a very minor part of this sermon. Just have to get it out there to see the other side. You see, because in Christ, it is another story. We just read about where we are not. Where we are not. But where are we? Where are we? In Christ. Look at verse 30 or 22. It's a completely different story. It's not, but you are not come, but you are come. This is where we are now. We've come to Mount Zion. We've come to this place where there's fresh air and we're unyoked and we're let loose and we're riding high. In Christ, yours is a life of glory and a life of liberty and a life of expanse, a place where it is just teeming with life. It's a place of a community. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of love. Look at verses 23 and 24 here. Where have we arrived? We've come to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, who are written in heaven, who are approved of God, and to God, the Judge of all, to the spirits of just made men, made perfect. And we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus because it's all been made possible by him. And so, perhaps this woman in our gospel lesson, in Luke in chapter 13 and verse 12, maybe this represents you. And yeah, maybe it's not a physical infirmity where you are bowed over, bent over in half, and you can't straighten yourself out. But you have a yoke and a bondage of a different sort. Maybe an invisible sort to the rest of us. But perhaps this woman in our gospel lesson represents you. Perhaps she represents the whole church. And I'm inclined to think that she does that as well. If and as that is true, today Jesus says to you, if that's you, and Jesus says to us as the church, woman, church, you are loosed from your infirmity. And so believe it. Receive it. Be saved and be free. Be unyoked. Be loose. Ride high. Sabbath unyoking, therefore, is not about getting rid of the Sabbath. It is actually embracing the biblical Sabbath. Back in our Old Testament reading of Isaiah 58, in verse 13, if you will turn away kind of your foot, it kind of sounds kind of choppy and confusing here, but turn your foot towards God's Sabbath is what it means. If you will turn your foot away from you doing towards the Sabbath, doing and turn your foot away from doing your pleasure on my holy day, meaning, what are you used to? I want to put that yoke back on. Believe it or not, a lot of people wear their yoke of their employment because it's comfortable and it's easy and it's actually less grief than they get at home. They may hate their job, but it's better than being elsewhere. He says here that if you will turn away from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, meaning I'm going to take this yoke off, whether it's my employment, whether it is my recreation, whether it is my victimization, whatever it is, if I will let that go and I call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, call it honorable, you shall honor him, and not doing your own thing, right? Not doing your work, not doing your recreation, not engaging in your own victimization again. Nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. The Sabbath is still in force, and this is a biblical Sabbath. It's not. It's taking off that bad yoke, but you know what? It is putting on a different yoke, the yoke of Jesus Christ, who poured himself out for everybody else. You remember Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, right? That's the yoke. I will give you rest. The whole idea is, yeah, we have to take on that old yoke, but there's a different yoke that you do put on. Take my yoke, his yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek, lowly in heart. You will find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sabbath unyoking, again, is not about getting rid of the Sabbath. It's about embracing the biblical Sabbath. What are some of the other blessings that attend this Sabbath unyoking of these bad yokes? Isaiah 58 and 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually. That sound like a good idea, that God will guide you? Anybody confused about what path to take next, where to go in life, you know? The Lord will guide you, and it says he will guide you continually, all the days of your life. It's not just a one-time event that I'm going to decide, okay, I go to this college, and then he doesn't guide me anymore for the rest of my life, and you feel like, gee, did he leave me stranded? He will guide you continually. It says he will satisfy your soul. Anybody here want to be satisfied? He will satisfy your soul in drought. That means you can live a life of satisfaction that is completely independent of your circumstances. There's a drought. He will satisfy your soul in a drought. What's next here? He will make fat your bones. Fat, the Bible, is a good thing. Fat is health. Fat means that God has taken care of you. You not only have enough, but you have excess in case there's a downward trend. Fat is a good thing. Healthy, fat bones means it's a picture of health in the Bible. God will be with you, guiding you continually, satisfying you in job, making your bones of fat. It goes on. It says you will be like a watered garden. You'll have a garden, and a garden won't be shriveled up. And a garden means that you have fruits and vegetables. You have produce. You have food. He says that your spring will be, you'll have spring water. You know, there's all sorts of water. Just look at Hoosick Street last week, and it's filthy, black, brown, scuzzy, clean. Spring water God will give to you. And then he says about these waters, those waters will not fail. They will be reliable for you today and tomorrow and all your tomorrows. And then there's more blessings that are attendant upon this biblical Sabbath. In verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They who shall be of thee. You know, is that your kids? Yes. Is it your grandkids? Yes. But you know what? The Bible, in chapters all around right here, talk about spiritual children. And every single one of us have people we have influenced and impacted. And this verse says that whether you have biological, physical children or not, right, you have a legacy. And your legacy will live on. Those who you have influenced, those you have nurtured, those who shall be of you. And it says they will be builders of the future. They'll build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation, it says, of many generations. You know what that means? It means we may not ever see the superstructure. You will raise up the foundations of many generations. I think of King David himself. He never saw. He all those battles, he would collect the spears and all the implements and all this stuff, and he was saving it all for Solomon's temple, a temple that David himself would never see in the flesh. He'd be dead and gone long before Solomon built that temple. The same thing is true of us. We will build up the foundations of many generations. We may not ever see what they build on top of those foundations. We may never see those superstructures. But we've invested in their lives. And this is God's promise to us. Raising up the foundation. It says that we will be repairers of the breach. Can anyone here honestly say that our cultural wall has not been breached? I mean, the cracks are all over the place. Our cultural wall has been breached. Can we actually honestly say that it is in no need of repair? And this says you will be a repairer of the breach. And then it says that you will be a restorer of paths. Paths to dwell in. And you know what? It would do us good to think about the old ways. If we look at Jeremiah 6 and 16 here, here's a great reference. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where there is a good way, and walk therein. You will find rest for your soul. Oh, that we would obey this. The Israelites of old did not. What does it say of them? But they said, we will not do that. Let's not be them. Let's be his redeemed. Let's be his people. Let's search out those old paths that are good paths. And then back in Isaiah 58 and 12 again, it says that these paths are paths to dwell in. They are paths to dwell in. There is a path to walk that is life. There is a way for you to conduct your life which is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We walk with him. And whatever it is we do, and this is not a sermon of a cookie cutter that says you have to choose this occupation or spend your time. This is a whole diversity and a whole great spectrum of different vocations in our life. But when we walk with Jesus, we will have life. As I close here, we are not escaping the Sabbath. We're embracing the biblical status. And we have a closing song here that I'm not so sure we've sung in a decade or so. And this closing song is not a song of escape. Even though some of the words should be taken that way, it is not a song of escape. It's a song of embrace. Part of the title of the song is Beulah. Dwelling in Beulah land. People used to call their kids Beulah. Beulah means married. It's Hebrew for married. Married. And what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is date night. That's what it is. It's date day. It's God saying to his bride, take off the yoke of implements that you may be busying yourself with all week long. Okay? Maybe it's work in the kitchen. Maybe it's work at the office. Maybe it's a thousand other things that we talked about here. Take off that yoke. Take my yoke upon you. It's date day with Jesus. Sabbath is date time with your husband. The time you are unyoked from all other interests and you are let loose from them. Free to pour yourself out. Free to be his servant. And free to ride high. Father God in heaven, thank you for the scriptures of this day and for the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, to the degree that we are that woman in that gospel lesson where we are bent over, bowed in half, unable to live life straight and upright and moving forward, but stymied. Lord, to the degree that that's true of us individually, to the degree that that's true of us as a church, help us this day to hear and to receive these words. Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Help us rise as she did, and glorify you just as she did. Make it so, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.